So, today is the last day of the Calgary Stampede, as they claim it is the greatest outdoor show on earth. If you've made it from the Stampede, congratulations. If you haven't made it there and you want to, you've only got a few hours left. If you don't plan to make it, well, there's blessings probably from that too. Your wallet will be thicker. But they have this claim that they are the greatest show, outdoor show on earth. Evidently, they've never read the Bible. They've never noticed that Jesus did most of his miracles outside. And these just weren't shows, but shows of, you know, just whatever. Like, oh, look what I can do. What Jesus was doing was actually changing history, changing circumstances, and he was showing what authority and power looks like. So to me, I think that is the greatest show on earth. So my sermon today is titled Healing Waves. So when you think of healing, what do you picture? Do you picture, you know, someone blind being healed and seeing, or someone that's got maybe a pain in their shoulder or a pain in their knee, you know, those pains being gone or diseases being lifted off, sickness gone, being able to hear? What do you picture when you hear healing? What do you immediately go to? So I'm just going to share a couple types of healing. And maybe we're going to think a little bit different this morning. I'm going to challenge you with a few different questions that I want. You don't have to answer them here. I'm not going to pick on you. I'm not going to say, what's your answer? You know, don't worry about that. These are things I want you to take and assess inside of you and go like, oh, you know, I've never thought of that. Maybe that's something I actually want to work on and actually have freedom from. So I'm going to talk about four types of healing. The first one, well, is mental. And then we have emotional, physical, and spiritual. We're going to call them MEPs. So these MEPs are four different systems. So the first one is our mental system. It works in alignment with our reason and our logic. If we don't have clear reasons or purpose, we will feel the conflict in our mental health. So sometimes our perspectives or our viewpoints or, you know, the way we kind of look at things sometimes, you know, are we a positive person? Are we a negative person? So for me, I will be completely honest, I'm probably more on the negative side. So when my wife says, oh, the car is making a weird noise, I'm like, oh, that's it. I have to buy a new vehicle. Everything is over. My life is done. And all it was a rock in the brake caliper. A little tiny pebble caused me to go completely the other direction and saying, you know what? I bet you it's going to be something small and simple. Right? The next one would be our emotional system. It has everything to do with how we feel about certain circumstances or how we feel about people. If we don't address our feelings and emotions properly, we can find or even notice that we have conflict in our health. So when I look at, well, what does an emotional feeling have about maybe a circumstance or a person? Maybe you've had someone in your life that's always diminished who you are, talked down to you. And there's hurts and traumas. You know, those are emotional feelings that actually cause something to grow inside of you. And we're going to cover that in a little bit. But sometimes we actually need to properly deal with these things. How do we emotionally put out on people? Do we encourage? Do we affirm them? Do we build them up? Do we hold them to a different standard? Do we say, you know, I'm just glad that you're here, and I'm glad that all of you are here. I'm glad that everyone's watching online. I'm glad that you are here. So our emotional systems are very connected to our mental, as well as our physical. I don't know if you've ever been mentally or emotionally just completely drained, and the physical matches that. You're just like, I cannot get up this morning. I don't want to deal with anything. I don't want to hear with anything. And physically, there you are, just like, I am done. Let me just lay on the road and let the bus run me over. Or sometimes, I've shared this before with Pastor Eric, and I kind of feel like I'm being dragged by a horse. That's not a good feeling. Trust me, you do not want to be dragged by a horse. I was dragged at a slow speed. I wouldn't want to be dragged at a fast speed. But the physical, what's the pain and energy that's in there? So our physical system encompasses our physical health, ability or physical surroundings to avoid conflict in this area. We must make sure that our physical systems are congruent with our goals and desired outcomes. So sometimes we actually need to kind of stop what's going on in the mental and in the emotional, and we need to start looking at, okay, my physical is starting to manifest what's going on. And our mindsets tend to actually take us a different direction, and that physical drain on our bodies can cause sickness. It can cause disease. So we need to be very delicate how we look at our physical. If we work out every morning and eat healthy, we end up being physically healthy. If I stay up all night and I only sleep a couple hours and I rely on energy drinks like Red Bulls or Monsters, I'm going to find that soon my physical health will diminish and actually go like on a downslide very quickly. It's not healthy. And the last one I want to touch on is spiritual health. And that's about our connections. This is our connection to God. It's our connection to our spouse, our family, our friends, community, where we work. All those things are important for our spiritual health. If we're feeling disconnected to the people and the things that matter the most to us, we will experience conflict in the system of our body. So we have to always watch the spiritual health, even in our broken relationships. Sometimes there's a relationship where it's just like we butted against each other. There's hurts. Maybe there's unrepentance. Maybe we haven't forgiven, and they haven't repented, but we haven't forgiven, and we need to make sure our spiritual health always allows us to be moving forward. You know, in the scripture, it does say that if we don't forgive, he won't forgive us, and if he doesn't forgive us, man, we're in trouble. We're stuck right here. We're not going anywhere. So since all these systems are connected, if any of these systems is affected, we will experience blockages when trying to make progress in anything we do. And see, growth is always the healing of all these things. And when all these things come together, and guess what? They get restored, then all of a sudden we will find that not only were they better, but we actually come out stronger, we come out wiser, we come out more full of God. So now that's what leads us into the scripture for today, which is Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. So I'll read it real quick here. When they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on his eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away, saying, "Don't go back into that village on your way home." This, as far as I know, in Scripture is one of the only two-stage or two-attempt healings that Jesus ever did. A lot of people are like, did he not have enough authority? Did he have not enough power to have done it the first time? We will see. So when we look at the Scripture, we look at, well, how does mental healing fit into this Scripture? And see, when you look at that Scripture, and the man said, "I can see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Mentally, he's trying to process what that picture looks like. And so sometimes in our mental healing, we have to look at what's the lens that we are looking at this situation through. How I talked about when a little pebble was stuck in the brake caliper of our vehicle, and it sounded absolutely horrible, but it was just this tiny little rock. All it was just taking off the tire and going, "There it is," and I pulled it out. But the lens I looked at thought, that was it, my vehicle's done. I now need to go to the bank and get a bank loan and figure out how to buy a new vehicle so my wife can take our kids to whatever things that they need to. But the lens that that man was looking through was like, I can see, but they look like trees walking around. And in the Scripture before this, and Eric preached on it last week, and if you weren't here for his sermon last week, I strongly encourage, go online, watch it. Even if you're watching online, you can click back and you can watch the previous YouTube, Facebook. They're on there. But on that previous Scripture, the disciples had just come with Jesus. Before that, they had fed 5,000, and now they had just fed 4,000. And of course, the Pharisees are challenging them, "Let's see some miracles, Jesus." And Jesus is like, "I'm out of here." So they get on a boat, and as they're on the boat, the disciples start arguing about who was supposed to bring bread. And Jesus, it's kind of like annoyed. He's like, "Man, don't you guys see clearly what we just did? Aren't you looking through with that lens? You know, we fed 5,000 people, and how many baskets did we have?" 12, they answered. And then he goes, "And then we fed 4,000 people. And how many baskets of food, of bread, did we have left over?" "There was 4,000. "Can't you see clearly that your worry in this moment is kind of silly? It's kind of annoying. You should have more faith. You should have a better lens now. Because don't you see that I've done amazing work already? And you're worried about not having bread when we just fed 5,000 people off a few loaves and a few fish? And we just fed 4,000 people on a few loaves and a few fish? Why are you worried about a rock and a caliper?" That lens. So in this Scripture, when this man just sees, he can't see them clearly and he sees the trees, it's almost paralleling back to the disciples. And perhaps the trees he saw walking around, because it does say that Jesus led him out of the village. And perhaps what he saw walking around was actually the disciples, a bunch of trees. But these disciples are watching what Jesus is doing, seeing what this man is doing. And at that point, Jesus again lays his hands on him, and now he sees clearly. And that's what he was wanting for his disciples to experience. It wasn't because Jesus didn't have the authority or the power to do it the first time. He was using it as a physical example. What's the lens that you're looking at your situation through? And sometimes when we look through that lens, what's our timeline? Why aren't my family coming to church? Why am I not being healed? Everyone's laid hands on me. How come I'm not being healed? How come I lost my loved one? How come my children are going through stuff that I can't pull them out of? You have to ask, what's your timeline compared to what God's is? You know, God doesn't put you through things just to say, I want to see you suffer. No, he's actually building. There's something he's doing in these situations. And there's a healing that does come in when you come into that mental capacity of, when I look through that lens, doesn't matter what the storm or the situation or the pebble in there, it's God, you're doing something. There's a process, and we have to be patient in that process. The disciples on the boat, when they're complaining about the bread, they weren't patient. But when the moment's right, clarity will come in. And of course, what our mental takes in, how we process it, it will affect our heart. So basically, what we're feeding into our mind, are we feeding discontentment, like it's not working in my timeline, or anger or bitterness because he didn't do what I wanted to do in that time? He didn't let me win the $70 million Lotto Max this weekend. Oh, that's it. I'm out of here. No, right? What we're letting into our mind will affect our heart. So that's where the emotional healing comes in. And in this scripture, you look at emotional healing. My relationships. My trust. Maybe my faith. So when you look at relationships, do I care enough for those people that are around me? Am I investing? Am I encouraging? Am I building? Am I doing everything I can to always be building a relationship and not tearing it down, not lighting a match and throwing it on a pile of gasoline and dry timber? So when you look at this scripture and it says some people brought out the blind man, those people didn't have to do it, but there was something that said, hey, Jesus is coming. Maybe you should grab the guy that can't see over there and take him out. It doesn't explain if it was just random people that maybe were like the Pharisees that just kind of wanted to test and see, oh, what's going to happen? Can he really, really heal? Or maybe it was like the guy with the four friends and he was lowered down in a mat, right? Maybe those were four really good friends. And Jesus said to those friends, because of your friend's faith, you're healed. But are we the people that's like, you know what? When I walk into a Walmart and I see someone suffering, you know what? Can I pray for you? Man, why are you limping? What's going on? Right? Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let him actually create an opening and a door. Ask someone, how can I pray for you today? What's going on? How are your finances? How can I pray for you? Next little question I would have for you, are you a good friend? I always have to answer that one myself. You know, sometimes I have the intentions to call somebody, but I never get around to doing it. So now I actually have to put like little alarms in my calendar. It's like, oh, there are. It's 10:10 on Wednesday morning. I need to call a friend just to check up on him and see how he's doing. Do you have good friends? That's always a big one. Your mental and emotional state always does show if you've got good friends, people that are pouring into you. I've always heard this quote from a few different people. Maybe they get it from the same guy. I don't know exactly who does it, but it says, if you show me your friends, I will show you your future. And I always tell my kids that. Show me your friends, and I will show you who you're going to end up being like. So, you know, if you're a good friend, well, that's probably why maybe people are always like, hey, I just like attaching onto you. Great, I'm so proud of you. But if you don't have good friends and you're using them to build you, maybe you need to start reassessing what are the people that are in my life that are builders, not people that are deconstructing. Do you take care of your relationships? Do you treasure them? You know, in Matthew 6:21, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So do you treasure even your relationship with Jesus? Devotions, prayer time, coming to church, evidently, because you guys are here. But another emotional trauma that we can have is by the person right here. And not just me, I'm meaning even yourself. You can actually cause a lot of trauma to yourself. You can criticize yourself, or you can judge yourself. You can do all these things. You can look in the mirror and not be happy with what you see. You can say things to yourself like, I'm dumb, I'm useless, I'm no good, I'm ugly. And then you start carrying that name around, and you start carrying a weight that you're not supposed to carry. Because Jesus didn't create you. God didn't create you. The Holy Spirit doesn't live inside of you because he thinks those things about you. He thinks you're amazing. He thinks you're a workmanship. He thinks you're something special. So that emotional healing sometimes comes from our own scarring. Now we move on to a physical healing. And sometimes it can be there's scars that are there. But in the scripture, the physical healing, yeah, Jesus physically put his hands on that man's eyes. He spit on him. Oof. But sometimes it actually takes faith for physical healing. If you don't actually step out sometimes and say, yeah, I need help, I need something, can you pray with me? I believe, Jesus, that you can do this. Holy Spirit, I need you to move in this situation. I need you to move in my family. I need you to move in this person that's sick. I need you to move in my shoulder or my knee, whatever is causing issues. I need, have faith. Those guys that brought that man out had faith. Even if it was the wrong kind of faith, there was still a substance of faith that said, let's take this guy out and see what's going to happen. We don't know the whole story, but I would choose right now to actually be more positive and believe that these guys weren't doing it for a wrong reason, that they were doing it for a right reason, because their faith said, because Jesus is there. But in that story of this man being healed by Jesus laying hands on him, it actually took surrender. It took those guys enough to say, you know what? It's not about me. Maybe it's about this guy. I need to actually surrender to maybe what the Holy Spirit's stirring up in that moment. Maybe I shouldn't be maybe so proud of the issues I've got going on and be like, ah, I can deal with it on my own. No, maybe actually we need to surrender a little bit to feel that physical healing come in. Maybe we need to surrender something that we can actually see something shift. But another one it takes is obedience. If you're not willing to sometimes step out, whether it's to pray for somebody or whether it's to be prayed for, and you're just sitting there, I'm all proud and I'm all tightened up, we're not going to see physical healing. A couple months ago, we had a barbecue out in our parking lot. And before I give the story, I'll tell you, after you hear this story, this is a good reason why you should come to our barbecues, not because of cheeseburgers, not because of hot dogs, but that is a good reason. But in a conversation Pastor Eric was having with a gentleman, he's like, you know, my shoulder hurts. I can't move it. And the guy went fly fishing, like, or fishing the day before, and well, that's probably why. I know he's like, I literally was just, you know, like, well, how are you going to catch a fish that way? And he goes, and I can't lift my arm any higher than this, and it's excruciating pain. So Pastor Eric sees me, I'm cleaning up, and when I'm in cleanup mode, it's just this. I don't see anything else that's going on, it's just this. And Pastor Eric stops me and he goes, hey, can you come pray with me? All of a sudden, there's that little obedience warning light going off in my head, and it's just like, oh, I can go and put the barbecue away, or I can be obedient what the Holy Spirit's doing in this moment. And so I stopped everything I was doing. It's still going to be there after this, but I don't think this moment will be if I don't step out and do something. So we went and prayed for this gentleman. And it's kind of like this scripture, because I'm nothing close like Jesus at all. I want to be, but I'm not. But we started praying for him. And then all of a sudden I asked, how's your shoulder? I don't feel the pain down here. But once I get it up here, I can feel the pain. Okay, show me where the pain is. So Pastor Eric and I, we start praying again. We pray for that spot. And all of a sudden, oh, I don't have the pain there, but I can't get my shoulder up here. So we prayed again. Show me where the pain is. Where's the spot right there? All of a sudden, he's just like, yeah, oh my goodness. And he's like this, and praise the Lord, hallelujah. And his son's there, not much emotion. I never doubted for a second. Like, what faith is that? But see, that took faith. It took me surrendering and being obedient to what I was thinking my agenda should be, to shifting to where God wanted me to go. The physical touch that happened in that. You know, in this story, it talks about spitting in the eyes. Just a couple weeks ago, I was at a meeting, a car club meeting, and there's this one guy kind of grates on me the wrong way, and I'm like, oh, Shan, got to be a good friend. So I'm like, you know, and he's kind of one of those guys that talks a little close. I don't know if you have one of those in your life. But every time this guy sees me, he immediately comes over, and he's always just like right on me, and okay. And he's an older guy. And everyone kind of like, whoa, I'm glad Shan's got that guy. And they walk the other direction. So we're in this group, and we're all talking. And this guy's just going on, and all of a sudden, the biggest piece of spit comes out of his mouth. And where do you think it lands? Yep, in my eye. So I'm trying to be full of grace. Trying to be. I'm just like, oh. And three of my other friends that were there, all of a sudden, they're like, whoa, I'm glad I was way over here. I watched two of them over there pointing and laughing at me. And I'm like, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. I'm like, I swear I'm going to get pink eye. I'm probably going to have to pluck this eye out. I'm going to have to wear a patch for the rest of my life. I am losing it. I even come home next to tears telling my wife, I just got spit in the eye. I'm not going to be able to see anymore. It was gross. I wish I could say that was a healing moment for me. Maybe mentally it was. But the thing is Jesus restores. And the biblical terminology of restoration is actually always making something better than it was before. So in Scripture, it always talks about mending nets. And of course, fishermen, when they would mend their nets, there would be extra attention to the area where it was torn. And guess what? That area of the net would actually end up being way stronger than the rest of the net, unless there was other mended areas. But that would be a strengthened area. And so sometimes maybe there's holes in our life and God's mending them up. Don't come out of it being like, I'm still weak and fragile. No, you're actually coming out with an authority and a power out of that. You're coming restored. You're coming full. You're coming full. So now comes the spiritual healing. In this scripture, Jesus and his disciples come to Bethsaida, that town. The blind man's brought out. Jesus leads the man outside of the village. So my question is, okay, where's Bethsaida? It's on the top of one of the seas. I can't remember the name of the sea, but it's at the very top. And why would Jesus pull that guy out of the town? Why does that even matter? What's the issue? Was it because he wanted to hide what he was doing? He wanted to kind of keep it on the down low? Didn't want to do too many miracles there? Like, why? What's the issue? It could have been to establish maybe that one-on-one relationship. So sometimes you'll get pulled out of a situation and all of a sudden it's like, hey, it's between you and me. Jesus is calling you to a one-on-one. He can be pulling you out of situations. Jesus could have just went into town, healed him on the spot. Just like the woman that touched his garment. He didn't even go there to see her. She just knew if I went to see him and just touched the fringe, just the edge of his garment, that she would be healed. And he immediately felt that power come out of him. He could have done that easily for this man on the spot. But he decided, no, I want to create a spiritual connection with him. I want it to be a one-on-one. I want it to be a situation where now we can develop that relationship. He wanted a restoring to happen to that man. He wanted him to come out better than what he was. But then at the end of this scripture, it says, but now his sight being perfect, Jesus sent him away, telling him not to go back into the village. So that really kind of raised a question inside of me. Why did he pull him out of the village? Yeah, it could have been relationship, and I think that's great. And I think it's true. But I also think there was something happening in that village, in that place where he was. It says it's not his home, because when he said, you know, he pulled him out of his village and told him not to go back into it, but to go home. So clearly it's not his, that village is not his home. So in Matthew, 11, verse 20 to 22. It should come up on the screen. In your Bible, it will be titled as Judgment for the Unbelievers. So in verse 20, it says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God." And Jesus continues and says, "What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon will be far better off on the day of judgment than you are." I don't know about you, but that's a little bit heavy. It's like your disbelief, unrepentance, literally has cast you out of the kingdom of heaven. And that scripture even goes on that even if Sodom still existed, that Sodom would even be in a better position. And God did what to Sodom? He literally just turned it to salt. Just wiped it out completely clear. No one would ever come out of that city ever again other than Lot and his family. So I kind of think if Jesus is kind of pulling this guy out of this place and out of this town and telling him not to go back, the spiritual healing that's coming is, hey, I'm healing you from a situation, and I don't want you going back into it. I don't want you going back to where you were, because it's just going to make you sick. It's just going to tear you down. It's just going to rip you apart. You know, I've had knee injuries, and it's because I was doing, you know, snowboarding or BMX biking and stuff like that, and I continue hurting my knee. If I were to go and get my knee fixed, would I go back to doing the same little stunts I was doing? Nah, I won't. Number one, I'm old. I can't do that anymore. But addiction. Maybe there's an addiction to something. God wants to pull you out of it, but he doesn't want you going back in. Put good friends around you to say, hey, man, I'm holding on. I'm literally behind you, not to push you back into it, but literally to hold you up from falling back into the ways you were. Get good friends around you. But in the scripture, the spiritual healing is I'm pulling you out of it, and I don't want you going back. I want you to go home. We pray all the time for our prodigals, all the people. I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want anything to do with God. I don't believe in God. We pray for those all the time. Spiritual healing, to come out of the situations they're in and not go back. And see, that spiritual healing is always followed by repentance. In that scripture in Matthew, their distrust in God and who he can and what he can do, and the lack of repentance. We're not going to see a spiritual healing if we don't repent, if we don't come to the cross and say, you know what, I need to lay this down. Maybe the agendas that we talked about just a few minutes ago are one of those things that's like, you know what? Yeah. I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Spiritual healing is always followed by repentance. It's turning from your sin, allowing healing to come into your mind, come into your heart, and come into your soul. And in that scripture, I think probably one of the best things I can pull out of it. It almost sounds like I got this line from one of the great pastors that have spoken our church many times, Graham Fletcher. It'll sound like, but I didn't get it from him. It just, as I was writing it, my wife started laughing at me. But in the scripture, the separation is the preparation for the restoration. See, it's making you stronger. See, if I can pull you out, then I can prepare you to be restored. Last week, Pastor Eric had a few questions for us, and I just want to kind of revisit them. The first question he has, is your heart soft towards God? If there's any kind of healing that you've been desiring, and maybe there's been some hopes and desires that you've had, and they've kind of not been fulfilled, and now you're getting that heart sickness that comes in. And now the kind of a hardened heart. And you're like, I want healing. I want to see healing happen. And maybe you're wanting this for somebody else. And now you're just like, you know what? I've kind of given up on God. I met a mom once who said, my son will never turn back to God, and I've given up. I'm like, then the enemy's won if that's what you wanted. But if you continue keeping a soft heart and believing that God's going to change the situation, you're going to see it. It's all about timeline. So assess, is your heart soft towards God? The next question was, is what do you see God doing in your life? Do you have that faith that says, you know, I believe I'll be healed. I believe my mom or my dad will be healed. I believe that my children will come back to church. I believe that my circumstances will change. I believe maybe my addiction will be broken. What do you see God doing in your life? See that mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. God wants to do it all. So now last week to this week, what has God been speaking to you about? Is there relationships that need to be mended? Is there something inside your heart that needs to be surrendered? Is there a separation that needs to happen? And the next question, what do you need to be reminded of? Sometimes in that mental healing and the emotional healing, you need to be told you're loved. You've got value. Maybe you need to be told you have purpose. Maybe you think I was just looking at you because I'm thinking of you, and that's true. But what do you need to be reminded of? And the last question, where do you need to grow in understanding? Sometimes we get lots of questions, and I'm just like, oh, I wish I had a manual for life. Can I tell you something? If you don't have a Bible, I will give you one, because this is probably the perfect manual for your life on how to deal with every situation. And when you don't fully understand even what's happening in this, you know, there's great people on this front row here that can give you good insight, good direction, And you know what? They're also the type of people that will be right behind you, holding you up, saying, hey, I don't want to see you going back. I want to see you going forward. So guys, just take those five questions and think on them today, this week, maybe through the summer. Because I think it's a new season. I think it's a new time, a new chapter, maybe a new fresh air coming into the stagnancy that we feel like maybe we're entrapped in. It's like a window open and a nice breeze of fresh air is coming in. Because I promise you, healing is coming. I guarantee it. Don't lose hope. Don't get angry. Don't quit. Don't quit at all. But take these questions and go through it, right? Maybe you're like, I am 100% on all of these. Great. You know what? I am happy that you are. So then find somebody that you can actually pour into and actually give them that measure of faith that you have going on. Don't just keep it all locked in. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to release because I understand what it's like to have kids and no Club J. I have a few of them rolling around over in the corner over here. But if you want prayer for healing, there's a few prayer people. If you're a prayer person, don't run away too quickly. But find one of us. We'll be up here. I'll be up here. Pastor Eric, Olivia, I hope. She has a little one, so I don't blame if she runs away. But we will pray for you for whatever is going on. So, Father God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for each heart that's in this room, watching online, that will watch online in the future. But God, I pray that not only have you been speaking to them through your Holy Spirit, but now they're going to see a change. They're going to see a new season in their life. They're going to see a new fresh air coming through, new wine, God. I'm praying that in every circumstance of healing, the mental, the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual, God, that there is a healing that's coming out, that your church is going to grow stronger, that people are going to leave here restored, meaning that they're coming out stronger than they were before. And God, that you're lifting off all those burdens, all the weights, God, all the agenda of what the enemy has on them, God. God, the voices that have been spoken over them, God. God, you're lifting that off. Addiction is lifted off, that you're breaking chains right now, God. God, that you are moving in every circumstance. Finances, God. Broken relationships, God. You're making them whole. Giving them hope, God. Giving them reason to continue. In the mental, where it's like, I am done, I'm finished, I would be better off dead. God, that is from the pit of hell. And that's not what you speak over anybody's mind, that they would be better off dead. Your desire is that we would live with you in your kingdom forever and ever. So God, I'm praying whatever suicidal thought, whatever thought that is so dark and is so deep and heavy, would be literally cut out right now. Taken out, lifted off. God, the anxieties that we all carry would be replaced with joy and gratitude and thanksgiving. So I thank you for this morning. I thank you for what you're doing. And I'm excited, God, to see what you're doing in this season. Brand new. A new page has turned. A new wine has come in. So I pray blessing on every person, everyone here watching online, our pastors that are away, that you would just bless them, give them full rest, good connections with each other. We just pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, guys, thank you for coming. Thank you, parents.